Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Oh, that's loud. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the 11th Sunday after Trinity. Just before we get going, a notice. You probably know we're now well into our course on the Apostles' Creed. It's Wednesday evenings, it's 7:30, it's in the sanctuary. We've had the first two. And I think anybody who was there would acknowledge them to be good, if not very good, if not brilliant. They are really, really interesting. So do recommend them to you. Next one is this coming Wednesday. We're halfway through the Creed. But each week is a standalone session. So if you've missed the first two bits, you've missed those. You haven't missed anything that's important to understand what's coming next. So just to say that to you, that is going on and is really good. Next thing, bands of marriage. This might take a little while. So I publish the bands of marriage between Daniel Seddon, single of this parish, and Gemma Cash, single also of this parish, and between Luke Richard Hazel, single of this parish, and Stephanie Jane Fabia, also single of this parish, and between Mitchell Dennis Wiseman, single of this parish, and Katie Jane Robson, also single of this parish. These are all for the first time of asking. If any of you know any cause or impediment why they may not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to say so now. Perfect. Before we start our worship, we'll take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves before our Lord. Lord, as we gather here in this place and this time, a familiar place, we thank you that we are here to meet with you afresh. May our gathering today be a time and space when we find a moment of meeting with you, when that veil that at times covers our world and our lives is removed and we see your glory. Glory revealed in the beauty of the universe you have created. Beauty revealed in the community we are part of. Beauty revealed to us in your precious word. And most of all, beauty revealed in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us again today to come away with you to a quiet place, to meet with you in new ways, ways that help us glimpse how things really are when we truly come into your presence, when we truly allow your light to transform us and the whole world. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we'll sing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 559, To God Be the Glory.
Glory, great things we have done, so loved we, Lord.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together: Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now collect prayer for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to sit, we have our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the second book of Prophet Samuel, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 5. The king commanded Joab, Abishai and Attai, "Be gentle with young man Absalom for my sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forests of Ephraim. There Israel troops were routed by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's hair got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair. While the mule he was riding kept going, and 10 of Jacob's armor bearers surrounded Absalom struck him and killed him. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord, the king, hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all who rose up against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went to his room over the gateway and wept. And as he wept, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I'd died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son." This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapters 4 and 5, beginning to read at chapter 4, verse 25. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 780, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Thank you.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, and we begin at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you speak to us afresh this morning. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. So today, we carry on with what is the third of five consecutive readings from chapter 6 of John's Gospel. And as we continue with last week's theme, that's to say, Jesus is the bread of life. So specifically, we pick up from last week where we heard about Jesus' statement that whoever takes the food he has to offer will live forever. But today, Jesus has gone further. That food that he is offering, he says, "The bread that I will give is my flesh." So, hunger hurts. When you haven't had enough to eat, it is properly painful. The average person in the world will eat one small meal today, and 10,000 will die due to the lack of food. Hunger really does hurt. And hunger for food was endemic in Palestine in biblical times. And it was within this context that Jesus spoke the controversial words, "I am the bread of life." It was a statement that was sure to get everyone's attention. Just what was it that Jesus was saying about himself? And what impact did this have? Not surprisingly, the people around are deeply shocked at what they thought was an outrageous, if not seriously weird, sounding statement. Throughout chapter 6 of John's Gospel, we find Jesus speaking vividly and with some force about what he has come for, and yet the people continued to misunderstand him. And also, I think we can see here a certain amount of contempt, probably born out of an ignorance of Jesus' true identity. And we see this when we hear the Jews talk about this man. Wasn't he just the son of Joseph? And how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It almost feels like a like a sort of willful determination not to understand. Who does he think he is basically what people are asking. Of course, the Jews were a highly cultured people with a long and distinguished history. Cannibalism wasn't one of their customs, and they would have been brought up to despise some of their near neighbours, very near neighbours, who had not been above human sacrifice in times past. But Jesus, who must have been aware of their reaction, only gives even greater emphasis to his words when he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So to the eating of his flesh is now added the drinking of his blood. Most of us have been coming to Holy Communion now for many years in some cases, and it's quite possible that familiarity has made us almost immune to some of the words that we hear. Week after week, we hear the words, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." And then there's, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood which is shed for you." Imagine a complete stranger hearing these words. Or alternatively, just for a moment, imagine yourself hearing these words for the very first time. "If you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood." Such strange words. And not just strange, but possibly borderline repulsive. And the drinking of blood must have seemed particularly disconcerting to a Jewish audience. The Jews had both a reverence and a horror of blood. Throughout their long history, the Jews had had to fight to keep their land, and their young men had shed their blood in battle. We heard a perfect example of this in our Old Testament reading this morning. For them, blood was the very source of life. Not just that, for any Jew, to come into contact with blood was to become ceremonially unclean. When a woman gave birth and blood was lost, she was barred from attending the temple for several weeks. Longer still, somehow, if the baby happened to be a girl. And you'll remember the gospel story of the woman who was suffering from a bleeding problem for 12 years. She desperately wanted Jesus to heal her, but because of the large crowd that had gathered, she didn't dare reveal herself or her condition. In her faith, she simply touched the hem of Jesus' coat. And almost certainly too, this aversion to blood was the reason why the priest and the Levite passed by on the other side in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. They were on their way to the temple in Jerusalem when they saw the man lying on the side of the road and undoubtedly bleeding from the attack he'd suffered. And they simply couldn't afford to be contaminated. And that was the lesson. They put their ritual purity above love for their neighbour. And as we know, observant Jews will only eat meat which is kosher. That's to say, meat which has had every trace of blood drained away. And now, here is Jesus asking these same people to drink his blood. No wonder there's some who thought he was mad, quite apart from the scandal that his words created. So what did Jesus really mean? Was he talking about the memorial that is understood by various Christian traditions as the sacrament of Holy Communion, the breaking of bread, Mass, the Lord's Supper, or if we're being really ecumenical, the Eucharist? Jesus' words here have a very clear resemblance with that memorial. But there's so much more to it than that. To eat the flesh of Jesus and to drink his blood is to be totally united with him and filled with his spirit and his vision. It is to be able to say, along with St. Paul, when he told the church in Galatia, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." It means totally sharing Jesus' vision, his ideas, his values. It is to be totally identified with his mission to establish God's kingdom in this world. It is to be nourished by his word as it comes to us through the scriptures. And most importantly, is to allow ourselves to be directed by that word. What's more, because Jesus' flesh and blood are so closely related with his suffering and death, we should also identify ourselves with that total self-giving, to carry our own cross and accept Jesus' invitation to follow him wherever that may lead, to be with him, to share totally and unconditionally in Jesus' mission. Let's go back then to the invitation to eat and drink at the Lord's table. What exactly are we doing when we take part in this celebration of the Eucharist? Well, we have a clue. We have a clue in the words of the prayer of invitation that's said each week. "Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood." The words used by the monastic community at Iona are also instructive. Their call to the people is this: "Come, all you who have much faith and you who would like to have more. Come, you who have been here often and you who have not been here for a long time. Come, you who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because of your goodness, but because you need mercy. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come. Come." So we come to the Lord's table, not just receiving, but giving also. Just as we receive the bread and the wine, we are to offer ourselves to God for his purposes. Just as we give thanks, we are also to live out that thanksgiving in gratitude for all that God has done for us. Just as the bread is broken and the wine poured out, we must be vulnerable to all that faith demands of us. Just as we are sharing the nourishment that comes from the bread and wine, so we must be prepared to share this nourishment with others. So, very shortly, we're going to take part in the Eucharist, and many of us would say, receive or take communion. It really doesn't matter. And as we do so, let's not do this passively, as if Jesus was just coming to us. This shouldn't just be a pious "thank you, Jesus." It is a two-way street. We need to receive actively. When we receive the host, whoever is presiding will say, "the body of Christ." And we answer, "Amen." In other words, we're saying, "let it be," or "so be it." Remember, as you kneel or stand at that altar rail, you are in what I think of as a thin place. That's to say, a place where the gap between heaven and earth is at its smallest. It is a truly sacred moment, and we're unlikely ever to be closer to God than at that very instant. And having received the bread and the wine, we confirm to God that we are happy for it to be so, as we say our Amen. We accept Christ and his whole gospel. We accept his victories, and we accept his sufferings. We are saying that we want to be with him all the way, to serve him with all our heart and soul, and to work for him for the making of a better world, a world of truth and love, a world of justice and peace, a world of freedom and happiness. When we see ourselves as really part of that great task, then we know in a very real sense we have eaten the flesh and drunk the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church today, we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit and for hearing our prayers. A prayer for Jesus, the bread of life. We praise you for sending us your Son, Jesus, the bread of life, with his faithful promise that all those who believe in him will never thirst or be hungry again, and they will be raised to eternal life on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for children and Christian holidays. We thank you for the joy of Christian holiday clubs this summer, such as Lighthouse and New Wine, when friends and families can be together for Christian fun, fellowship, and reflection. We remember those for whom this is not possible and pray that there will be better times ahead and hope for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our world. We pray that discontent and deprivation are not provoked into hatred and confrontation by evildoers, and that communities and cultures will come together in mutual respect and harmony. We pray for our world leaders to unite all humankind in the common purpose of eliminating famines, disease, poverty, exploitation, and climate extremes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those in our church and our community who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are suffering from physical and mental illness, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with kind responses to their difficulties. We pray for Peter Nelson and the family of dearest Eve, for Gail Wellings, now in Amersham Hospital, and her full recovery to come following successful hip surgery. And in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. Inspire us to share our Christian love with others in our church and in our community of Penn and Tyler's Green, so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The face of God shines brightly on us that we might be saved. The love of God revives us that we might call upon God's name. So seek out the shining face of God in one another as we share the peace of Christ. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. As we stand, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 1187, Before the Throne of God Above. This morning we will continue with Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please sit on you for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way after supper he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us. As we are bold to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Who draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ. Lord, Lord of all mercy, we, your faithful people, have celebrated that one true sacrifice which takes away our sins and brings pardon and peace. By our communion, keep us firm on the foundation of the gospel and preserve us from all sin. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise. Still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 9, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
We go to our homes with this blessing. O Holy Spirit, giver of light and life, give us thoughts better than our own thoughts, and prayers better than our own prayers, and powers better than our own powers, that we may spend and be spent in the ways of love and goodness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.